Good morning. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Good to be with God's people in the presence of God Almighty. Nowhere else we'd really want to be. Who here does not have just anything that you're going through? No difficulty, no trouble. As we come here to God's house, this is a house of healing. We want to make sure that we come with the right frame of mind to be prepared and forewarned and therefore forearmed for challenges that we're inevitably going to be facing in the coming week. And it could well be that you're just going through a lot right now. There is a song that I had heard a good number of times over the years. I unfortunately was not able to locate it in the songbook that we have. But it's known by the title, "Leave It There." And that is a song that really resonated with my heart this past week. It's going to form the basis of what we're going to be talking about here this morning. It's known as "Leave It There," but another way in which it is known is "Take Your Burdens to the Lord." And I like that for a title. Let me share some of the words here with you, if I might. "If the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in His word how He feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and your soul is almost sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and He can heal. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. When your enemies assail and your heart begins to fail, don't forget that God in heaven answers prayer. He will make a way for you and will lead you safely through. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. When your youthful days are gone and old age is stealing on, and your body bends beneath the weight of care, He will never leave you then. He'll go with you to the end. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there." And then the chorus is just so beautiful. "Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there." I love that there is a sound bite. It's just fantastic, isn't it? It's a beautiful song with a very important message. I could only wish just it were here in our songbook as well. Because who has never known the weight of a burden? We all have them. Daily so, don't we? We know about times of great blessing where the windows of heaven just seem like they're flung wide open. But then we also know about times that are dry, where the heavens just seem like an iron curtain and nothing will penetrate. There are times where we have a revival in our heart where everything just seems like it's clicking left and right. And then there are times where faith is running low. And yes, indeed, we will pray, but it certainly seems to have a lot of struggling with it. A lot can be heavy on our mind. We are overwhelmed by loved ones who will prove to be difficult, a job that might be stressful, people that are hard to get along with. You know about that? Our house might seem like it's dysfunction junction, where you have a train wreck that just happens again and again and again. There's family division. There's abuse within relationships. Children are astray. There might be testing, financially or physically. We can be quite beaten down. We see problems on TV or through social media. We know all about that. Have you ever wondered, how long is it going to be like this? I wonder sometimes if we call to mind there in the book of Revelation how it was that you had the souls of the martyrs that were there underneath the altar. And they were crying out what? How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge? With all that goes on, and somewhat routinely at that, the question of questions would be, how can we navigate through our life to where we are able to not just survive, but thrive? I want for us to go in our Bibles to Psalm 55. The 55th Psalm shall be where we will have our lesson here for this morning. And please keep in mind as you're turning there to Psalm 55 that this is a Psalm of David. It is a contemplation of David. There are 150 Psalms altogether, but 73 of those are understood to have been penned by David himself. Some were written by Asaph, about 12. Some come from the sons of Korah, about 11 there. Heman the Ezrahite wrote one, and Ethan the Ezrahite also wrote one. Even Solomon gets in on the action here. He penned two psalms, and Moses wrote one. But I do think it's quite fitting for this specific sermon, this specific lesson here, this hour, that it's penned here by David. Because so much was written there about David, this great man of faith. Now we talk about him as a man of faith. Yes, indeed, he was a man after God's own heart. But he knew all too well about frustration and failings on a personal level and disappointments seen from without. You know, a lot could be said about Abraham or Moses or Elijah. But David's name appears more times in the Bible than any other character save that of Jesus Christ himself. He was called at a very young age. He was but a shepherd boy. No one really seems to have believed that he could be used by God. He was the youngest there in his family. And even though Samuel thought that it was going to be the oldest who would be the Lord's anointed or the Lord's chosen, God wanted the last one in line. For man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks where? God looks at the heart. God would lead David. And while others were cowering in fear over that great giant Goliath, that was not David. God used David to defeat that giant. David was a blessing in Saul's house, fighting victorious battle after battle for him on his behalf. And he played on his harp to soothe Saul when a distressing spirit came upon Saul, and that would ease and relax that king. But unfortunately, Saul became quite envious and jealous, resentful. He turned on David. But God exalted David, and God would raise David to the throne. But even though all of that happened, the outpouring of great blessing on this man, David lusted after Bathsheba, a bathing beauty. And it led to adultery and murder and lying. And he tried oh so desperately to cover his sin and hide it all. But God would break him. And in breaking him, he would indeed forgive him. But consequences would still be there. Consequences that just ravaged and tore asunder his domestic life. One of his sons raped one of his daughters. Horrible. And Absalom, a son of his own body, would rise up to betray him. To use an expression that's reserved there for the Messiah, I think here about David also as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And so many of David's psalms are born from an honest, broken heart. And we're going to focus here on verse 22 ultimately of the 55th Psalm about casting your burden on the Lord and He shall sustain you. But if we might, I'd like for us to read through this first, if we could, so that we could get properly the context before us. How does that sound? Now, a good number of commentators would connect this psalm here to David's life when he was on the run from Absalom, betrayed by Absalom. And there was a one-time trusted advisor, one who happened to be there in his cabinet, one who was a political associate, Ahithophel. And Ahithophel was a counselor, but he turned on David. He encouraged Absalom to sleep with David's women so as to signal a point of no return in this coup, in this unlawful seizure of power, this uprising. Ahithophel was a military consultant. And some think, though it could never really be proven, but some tend to think that this particular psalm was written during that very period. But whatever the case, as you go through this, undeniably you see how it is that David is sent reeling from a great betrayal in his world and in his life. And so he just pours out his heart. He just bears it all before the Lord. Verse 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove! I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness." Salah, which is a musical pause right there, and it's great for us to also pause at that particular point. We can look up and see moral rot within society. Messed up situations at times in our homes. How do we deal with our burdens, which can seem so excruciatingly crushing there upon our hearts? Internally, are you going crazy? Is there just no way out? Well, listen here to David. In a word, he's saying, everybody is against me. Does that sound familiar? I want to get out of here and never come back. You ever felt that way? He's saying, they're turning on me. I feel like I'm all alone here. I want to just hit that road, right? Fill up the gas tank and drive and drive and drive with no particular destination in mind. And I want to go about as far as I can go, and I want to restart somewhere new, somewhere where nobody knows who I am and I don't know a thing about them either. I can't take it any longer. He's saying, oh, I wish I could just fly away like a dove. I got to get out of this mess. Now let me tell you, as an evangelist, my responsibility toward the faithful of God is not to take you out of your problem, but to show you that God will be with you through your trial and through your problem, if you are committed to Him and have put Him first in your life and in your heart and have obeyed the gospel of His dear Son. Look here at verse 8. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. Now you can see the flesh coming out in David here. Beat them down. Make something terrible happen to them. David is quite a real man here, right? For I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around on its walls. Iniquity and trouble are also in the midst of it. Destruction is in its midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from its streets. You know, we can think of Abraham or Moses or Elijah or even David as being superstars of the faith. And yes, they had many high points, many points of emulation and imitation. But all of them also made mistakes. All of them were also just in great shambles at times, especially when they relied on their own understanding in their own situation. Abraham was trying to take a shortcut there with Hagar. We saw what happened there. Moses allowed anger to lead him in his leading, and it led him to disobedience. He decided to strike that rock instead of just speaking to it, and therefore he could not make it to the promised land. Elijah sunk into deep depression, longing even for death, when a great and mighty victory at Mount Carmel did not lead to complete revolution among the people. And David gave in to lust when he was not there on the battlefield in the time of war. These were men of God, but they could allow the natural man to infiltrate as well. And let me tell you, that can indeed happen to all of us just the same. Well, look here at verse 12. "For it is not an enemy who reproaches me. Then I could bear it." In other words, if I know who my enemies are, then I'm on safer ground. But if I have to fight a rearguard action, if I'm having to watch my own back here, how distressing is this? "It is not an enemy who reproaches me. Then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me. Then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng. Let death seize them. Let them go down alive into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them." Now, some have equated this part here to Ahithophel himself, a secretary there in David's cabinet. It's like, how could you do this? How? We prayed to God together. We worshiped together. We walked through those same doors into the house of the Lord together. It's as though he's saying, we sat on that very same pew. We sang hymns and songs together. This is someone that I have loved, someone who I cared for and trusted. And this is what I get. How can this even be? You know, life can be going along so well, and someone here who you pictured as always being there by your side, very tragically, ends up being a thorn in your flesh. And you're thinking, why did we even meet? What was the very purpose of this? After all that we'd been through together, does it not mean nearly as much to you as it did to me? Have you ever been there? It seems that that is David's world here at this moment. But you have a good answer here in verse 16. "As for me," David says, "I will call upon who? I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many against me. God will hear and afflict them, even he who abides from of old, Salah. Because they do not change, therefore they do not fear God." Read through that there and ponder it. He says, I'm going to be looking to God. "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." God is not just God over the problem, For he is in control over all, but he is the very God of the answer. He is the answer. Christ is the door. Too often we can be looking for all manner of open doors when we have to focus there on just one. Christ, the living door. He goes on to say here in verse 20. He has put forth his hands against those who are at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Some are smooth talkers. In the end, that happened to be Ahithophel. They can say all the right things, but in the end, they are simply manipulating people. David is enduring this sinking feeling, recognizing that he has been ripped off, cheated, and bamboozled. But look over here at verse 22. He concedes the answer. I have it figured out here. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he, God, shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Now that word cast literally means that you give it to him. Commit to him all that you have. Maybe we're discussing some people that you think about nearly all the time. And you wish that they could change. You wish that they would just come to the Lord. And you are in writhing, agonizing pain over it. Or you're tripped up trying to make sense of all that's happened in your life. You're a little confused. You didn't quite know what exactly was happening here. And so you wonder where God is taking you on that journey of life. Give everything back to the Lord. Do not hold anything back. You have to say and follow through with giving back all. Your spouse, your children, my job, my house, it's yours, God. Matthew chapter 11. We have to love the tender invitation of Jesus Christ himself. Sweeter words could hardly be found than what you have over here in Matthew chapter 11, there in verse 28. Come to me, Christ says. Have you come to him? Or are you going to everybody else out there just fuming and venting? Christ says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. In other words, laden with a load of care. Do you have a great burden? Who are you taking it to? Christ says, I want to hear about it. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find what? You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As you go through this world, there will never be any period or juncture where you simply just do not have any burden whatsoever. Oh, we're going to have a yoke, but we don't want the yoke of sin. Christ says, trade it out. Swap it out now with me. Take your sin over here to the cross. We're going to leave it over there and now be as my disciple. And guess what? It will start to look much brighter for you spiritually. You will be at peace with God. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Look here at verse 6, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Peter says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. God is all powerful. There's nothing that is too difficult for him. He has a mighty hand. So let's give it all over to him, that he may exalt you in due time. You see, God is the one who does the exalting. Do not try to exalt yourself. Do not try to do all of this yourself where you're trying to shoulder it all yourself. He says, casting all your care upon him, verse 7, for He cares for you. Let me tell you, if we choose to defend ourselves, God is not going to defend us. Do not get caught up in trying to control all of your circumstances, because you see, they're often just beyond your control. God knows how to care for His own. Ahithophel was one who was giving unrighteous counsel. He was there whispering in Absalom's ear, "Here's what you have to do. Go and sleep there with David's women." Ahithophel later got so scared, thinking that David was going to come, that he went and hung himself. Absalom's kingdom didn't last. It didn't last because these were men who were fighting against God. Now, yes, they have a problem with you, but they are fighting against God if you are committed and dedicated to the Lord. That happens to be the issue. Break them, Lord, that they might come to know You as the Savior. How's the saying go? Life is not about waiting for the storm to pass, but learning to dance in the rain. As Christians, we are supposed to be people of joy and great and abiding happiness. We have our sins forgiven in Christ. We have eternity to look forward to with God. What is not to smile about right there? And you think there about the Apostle Paul. He said to depart and be with Christ is far better. You see, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It's a win-win situation, friend. So everything that's running through your mind, everything that you're called to do, you have to give this over to God, because He wants to hear and He cares. We think they're about parents and how much they love their kids. Your children are there on your minds all of the time. And yet God is our Father. How deep the Father's love. And you see, it supersedes the love of a human father. So everything that we struggle with, the Heavenly Father wants to hear about, because He can help and He can heal. Some cast it on social media, and that's the extent of it. But it is God who will sustain you. Psalm 23, that beautiful psalm. I fear no evil. Why? Because You are with me. And what does David say there? You prepare a table. In other words, You spread a table there in the midst of my enemies. What is that saying? Even in turmoil, God will provide for you. Listen here to the words of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. When you pass through the waters, have you ever felt like you're drowning? When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Winston Churchill once famously said, if you're going through hell, keep going. The idea being that you have to press on, but take hold of God's hand. Isaiah continues, nor shall the flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Isaiah waxes poetic, but he's making a powerful point. Do not live in fear. Do not become a bitter person, complaining about everything in your life. Cast it on the Lord. You shall not be moved, which is to say, you're not going to be shaken or destroyed. Just three short points on dealing with burdens. Number one, understand that a Christian always has access to God wherever he is at. It's certainly not limited to just these four walls of this building. So take a deep breath. Inhale, exhale. That's something that you do have control over, that breath that's going to be coming out of your body. At least the next one. You have access to God in your car, in your home, in the closet of prayer, in your trial. When that phone call comes ringing that just shakes your world, I have access to God, you do as well. Psalm 61, verse 2. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Run to the throne of God's majesty. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Number two, understand that God will not give us more than we can handle. You are bent? Yes, all right. But you are not broken. There's a difference. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul talks about temptation that will beset us. It comes creeping up, and all too frequently, right? And so he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, there in verse 13, no temptation, no trial even, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape. Why? He wants to see you succeed, that you might be able to bear it. Now focus there on the first part of that. He said that temptation is common to man. In other words, we all share that. It's not unique just to you or to me. But this is a common bond for us. We all will go through harder times. But you see, therein is perhaps some good news. When you think about how it's common to man, and this is not a matter of you being alone. You see, if others have overcome, then guess what? You can as well. Julie Andrews said, perseverance is failing 19 times and succeeding the 20th. Just get back up. Experience is what you get when you don't get what you want. The darkest hour still only has 60 minutes. That means you can get through it. Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, when you come to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. And I might even add, take a breather, but then climb on up. When life takes the wind out of your sails, it is to test you there at the oars. Keep rowing. But number three, last. In dealing with burdens, continue to show love to others. As we look here at Psalm 55, you see a roller coaster of a ride for David here. But look at that very last verse. Now, we focused, of course, on verse 22 about casting your burden on the Lord. But it closes out this way with verse 23. But you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. They're going to die before their time. But I will trust in you. So he allows God, ultimately, to be the avenger. He doesn't want to just take matters there in his own hand. Ultimately, David did not want Absalom to die. He didn't want him put to death. And when one from the house of Saul, Shimei by name, came out cursing and picking up rocks and chucking them there at David. One of David's commanders wanted to just go and lop off that fellow's head. But David said, don't do that now. Don't do that. Let him alone. That shows love, doesn't it? And we can sometimes think, well, this person over here, they do not deserve my love. They don't deserve to be forgiven. Let me tell you, that is not your call to make. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. If we want to benefit from the forgiveness and pardon of Jesus, we have to also extend that to others as well. Even those who may hate your guts. Even those who just had taken like a dagger and ran it through your heart through betrayal. Give it over to God. Psalm 55 is an odyssey of David's mind. He was angry. From a carnal side, he wanted them all taken out, but he had the clarity, ultimately, to give it over to God. It's like the dark clouds of resentment and frustration lifted, and he confesses right there at the very end, I will trust in you. I trust in God. Where is your trust? In whom do you trust? Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. And our sin is exceedingly heavy. Let's unload that load. Take it off of your weary shoulders. Put it down there at the cross. And allow God to exalt you in due time. He wants you there in heaven with Him, where there shall be no more tears, no sorrow, nor crying. The former things will have been done away. And what a time of rejoicing it will be when the saved get to heaven, when we get there. Believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess Him. Be willing to confess Him before men so that He confesses you before the Father in heaven. And then be buried in a watery grave of baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. And seek to be committed then to Christ and His church, the house of God, giving glory unto His name. If we can help toward that end, please come to the front where we stand now and sing.